suppose that in my teaching from Colossians, where we have been for some time, that I think I know what I want to teach and I want you to come away with, and yet I don't think I've achieved that. So if you will bear with me a little bit by way of introduction, we're going to be talking again from Colossians 3, beginning at verse 9 and following, about putting on and putting off, the old man, putting on the new, whatever, putting on, putting off, those kinds of things. And by way of introduction, I want to say, and I can even relate this to the illustration of the absolute zero, the search for absolute zero, and the power that exists in the universe and in the smallest proportions, and what the power that exists in God. And it's astounding. It just makes the mind boggle. And yet, we as Christians have not yet seen that fact of what has happened to us. That same power that is larger than the universe, that the scientists can't even imagine, has been given to you as a free gift of grace. And you have been changed by that almighty power. You remember my favorite places to go, to Ephesians chapter 1, to describe God's almighty power, how He worked in us. And I've told you before that the greatest power in the universe is not to get to absolute zero, though it would take a machine the size of the universe. The most difficult task is to forgive you of sin. That takes a power that isn't even fathomable. That takes a power that produces, I got to catch this while it's here, sunlight! I love it just for a moment. And yet, we know that our measly little sun is but a small speck in God's universe. All that power is focused in your heart, and you've been forgiven your sins. That same God who does all of those marvelous things has done the greater work in your soul and heart. Now, I'm saying what I said was, I'm not getting it across to you that if you can come to that understanding that you have been caught up in the all-powerful, and that you have all power through Jesus Christ, your Lord. This, dear folks, will accomplish your sanctification, your putting off the old and putting on the new. It is not the world's answer, but it is the biblical answer to reckon yourselves dead to sin, and do so because of the powerful work that has occurred in your soul. You are not like every other person on the face of the earth. You are a child of God. I want you to know that. And that as such, you're not just hanging out in the wind. That God is at work in you, both to will and to do. And I want you to let that powerful work and almighty power flow in your heart. Through what? Knowledge. How does it come? It doesn't come because you ask for it or something. It's there. And you need to know that. If you need to be changed, a new creation. Your mind is new. That's what it said. All things have become new in the reading we just had. Your minds are new. They're not the same. They've been changed. I just have been, as an aside, I made contact, or at least I discovered an old fellow. He's old now. He wasn't old when I last knew him. A fellow that I knew in Trabzon, Turkey. That was 1962 and early part of 63. How many years is that? 45. I located him, and I happened to come upon looking under Trabzon and doing some stuff like that. Some military people would put up a site, and I saw a name mentioned, Eugene Yaki. And I said, wow, that's a person that I knew in Trabzon. That's a person I knew that before I was a Christian. I was not a Christian when I was in the military and in Trabzon, Turkey. And I remember my days there. I spent those days away from Bev in what I would say clinical depression today is what they would call it. It was a cloud of sadness and darkness the whole time I was there because I was away from Bev. But I kept my sanity, if nothing else. And I remembered some of the men. And then I remembered some of what I was like. I remembered something about me as an unbeliever. I was bowled over because I have now been in the Lord so long and convinced and know and reckon myself dead to sin that I had forgotten just how wicked I was. And for a moment, I had a flashback. Can you have flashbacks? I said, I've been changed. And when I contact Eugene Yaki, which I intend to do, we will have little to talk about other than the distant memories, unless he's been converted to Christ. It is kind of interesting where he lives. I discovered him in 8 miles, about 8 to 10 miles from Wasilla, Alaska. That's right. And so, Eugene might have been converted to Christ. Well, let me tell you, when he and I were in the military, we are neither one of us Christians and showed forth no Christian principles in our lives. And then I started to realize just how powerful God's work had been in my life. That I have been changed completely from that to this by the almighty power of God. And that's the only thing it can be, folks. I did not decide one day to become a nice guy. Well, I'm still a nice guy. What I'm saying is, I didn't decide one day to reform. I didn't. Because after I had returned from that place, I returned a year and a half later to Texas. And it was in Texas where the Lord was pleased by the Spirit to draw me to Him. But it took a year, it took some time after that. But when I think about the power that God has used or the power involved in changing me into a believing person, and not only a believing person, but then by a wonderful work of grace and mercy to call this poor sinner to preach his gospel. I am absolutely humbled. It's hard to believe in the context of what I was. Hard to believe. Had you known me before, you'd have never believed that. My mother didn't believe it, and nobody believed it around me. Oh, he wants to be a preacher? Vic? The truth of it was, I didn't want to be a preacher. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But it was by the power of God that he worked this in my soul. And he took this sinner, and he made me a man of God to preach the gospel. He has done exactly the same for each and every person that claims his name in this room. He has done exactly the same. The one thing that I can tell you that is unique to every one of our stories is that work of God in our souls. Everybody different circumstances, but everybody with one single work, a powerful work of God to change you from that to this. And if He can do that, He will not leave you alone in trying to overcome sin. He has not left you alone, hanging in the wind, and say, here's your ticket to heaven, I'll meet you there. Nope. It says that He has come into our heart as, what did it say in here? A guarantee. The Spirit has been given to me. A guarantee. A down payment. This is the earnest payment that He will redeem me, and that He has put His Spirit in me, that He would grant me the power to overcome and to live righteously in this life. That's how it's happened. It isn't perfect work. For those of you who know me, you know it's not perfect. But I'll guarantee you, the difference between me now and then, it's like that degree between a billionth of a second and absolute zero. It's totally different. Totally. I am not the man I was. And now when I looked back through the lens of that man's name, and I began to try to recollect some memories. He was a good friend of mine. I'd be the first to admit I didn't know the Victor Edwards anymore. He's disappeared. He's gone. And what you see is what you get. As imperfect as it is, it's a new man. And I have put off the old man and put on the new man to such an extent, it's not just me, it is God at work in me, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And He has changed me to such an extent, and I have put off the old and put on the new to such an extent that the old one has disappeared. And now I want you all to do the same thing. How do you do that? Well, that's what we're talking about. Look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's an assumption for the Christian. All right? It's a work of grace. God has put him off, and you have cooperated in that. You have put off the old man. The old man is who? The Adamic man. Basically, if I may, there's only two men that are important in history, in human history. Adam and Jesus Christ. That is the two divisions of humanity. Those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are not in Christ Jesus are all in Adam. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. And so that we have been made alive and have put on the new man who is renewed, how? In knowledge, according to the image of Him who created him. The new man that has been created in you, believer, fellow believer, is created in the image and likeness of God, of Christ. That's right. Yes, it's still human. And it has been tainted by sin. But the new creature is created in righteousness and holiness. And God wants us, and He gives us the power to live in that new man. We have the power to do that. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, electos in the Greek. So if your Arminian friend says, well, God never uses the word election. Yes, He does. A whole bunch of times, as a matter of fact. That's because they don't understand Greek, I suppose. Therefore, as the elect of God, but let me change it, and make it like what he's talking about. Therefore, as the chosen of God, you are chosen, elect in him, holy and beloved. Do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that about yourself, that you are holy and beloved? Christ has made you holy, that it is he has set you aside for his service? And beloved? Therefore, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on, put on, put on, put on. It's an action verb. Do it. By the power that is already existing in you, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. There's a model, eh? Do we meet that one? Woo, that's tough. That's tough. But guess what? Everywhere in the writings of this Holy Scriptures, that the authors point us in that direction, saying, do this. Put off this and do this. And it paints a picture of Jesus Christ, who was all of those things, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, all the things I would say today that are not really in the modern age characteristics that are praised. Today, meekness is sort of a pantywaist. Is that a bad word? Panty? No, I don't think it's a bad word. You know what I'm talking about? A weakling. To put on, to be humble is to not have self-esteem. To be meek is really to be weak, the way man looks at it. Long-suffering is not seeking your own rights. But our new man has been fashioned after Christ, who is all of those things. And we have to, as this day that we're living in, we've just described it this morning in Sunday school, it is a dark kind of day. But as we live in this day, our lives ought to shine against that background more and more as we strive to be like Jesus Christ. And you should be targeted. I told you persecution is coming. And the reason I say that is because it should. If you're living the right life for Christ, if you're living the way that you're supposed to, they're going to hate you. Because they hated him first. Don't you remember him saying that? No one in this natural world wants to live like Christ. But we do. We are a bunch of outsiders. Now, I'm not playing the victim thing. I'm telling you the truth. You are a chosen people, electus. You're a nation of priests. And that your job and your ability and the power that you have is to bring offerings of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how you ought to be leading your lives. Even your daily lives of making a living and doing all of those things ought to be in the shadow of that reality, that you are living in Christ Jesus. You have been formed in your inner man after him, and you are living for his glory. And now all of this has to come together with this knowledge that he speaks of. Having been renewed, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. One of the things I'm going to be talking with you about in the new year is moving our level of knowledge up. The Christian faith, you may have scratched the surface, but it has a lot more left. And we need to start, this church is mature enough to begin to reach out and to stretch yourself a little bit. And so in the year 2009, we intend to do that, to press you even more and to increase that knowledge. But in some ways, that knowledge is going back to something that is archaic. It is the model of Jesus Christ that has been formed in your heart. And what we're going to try to do through the renewed knowledge is to bring you in further compliance and further like Christ. It's going to be my own striving to do the same thing. As my days are shorter than yours, likely. Except it depends on how you're driving in the winter time, okay? You might be a little faster than me if you're not careful. But I shouldn't joke about that, because just in the last couple of days, hasn't there been two deaths out on the highway of young people that I'm sure that no one believed that they would ever be dead? But they're dead because of car accidents. But I don't want to be somber like that. But I want to live in these final days even more like Jesus Christ. I want to go further away from that person that I was in Trabzon, Turkey before I was a Christian. I'm still going to call Eugene. I just want to see if he still remembers me after 45 years. I'm sure he will, because we did some really stupid things yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, Eugene was a bit goosey. I know that is real sensitive, and if you kind of did one of those things, he would just go crazy. And I believe that somebody did that to him on the second floor of the dormitory, and he fell off down onto the ground below out of the second floor when somebody goosed him. So anyway, he'll remember such stupid things as that. I'm sure. Nonetheless, I'm going to do that. But in so doing, I can't even hardly wait to tell him what has happened to me. I just can't wait. And if he can put me on to somebody else in those years, I'm going to call them too and tell them what has happened. It's an amazing story what God has done. I'm using myself as an example, but all of you could say the same thing. All of you could say the same thing. You are not what you were. You are some other person. It is that dramatic a change by the almighty power of God. And it doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. He says there, Greek or whatever. Eugene was a white person, just like myself, but my roommate there, Cheshire, was a black person from Philadelphia. I'd like to get a hold of him too, if he's still alive. Knowing him, he may not be alive, as he was something of a dandy from Philadelphia. Already in the early 60s. But I would like to be in touch with him again and some of the other men that I knew from those days, and to see what God has done there. And you know what I'm going to find? I'm going to bet you that I find a Christian amongst them someplace. Because I'm of the belief that God is drawing his men just like he drew me. I'm not so foolish as to believe I'm the only one. So I'm looking intently at going around and see how many names I can come up with from those days and contact them and find out what has the Lord done. And I'm going to tell them, here's what the Lord's done with me. I should tell you what the Lord has done with me. I want that same thing to be with you. The power, a realization of the power that you have in Christ Jesus
so that you are now. We speak of the inability of man, the total depravity, total inability of man to choose the good. But when you were saved, that ability was restored. Please understand that. It was restored. And that you now can choose the good because you have the power to do that. The ability. Your rational reason has been restored. You've heard me say that I believe that unbelievers are suffering from a form of insanity. I am not just making talk. If I could go back to Romans, would somebody give me a time hack? I don't have a time. 11:50. I got time. Romans chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one is without excuse. They know God. Every atheist, every agnostic, every person that claims not to know God knows God. On whose authority? God's authority. Because although they knew him, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became, there it is, futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Morons. Fools. Their minds were messed up. Mine was when I was in Trabzon, Turkey, when I was with Eugene Yaki. My mind was messed up like that. It was not thinking rationally. And then I went to Texas. Another long story. Why God should save anybody in Texas, I'll never quite understand. But nonetheless, that's where I went, and that's where the Spirit of God drew me to Jesus Christ. But I was changed. I was a new man. And since that time, I have been putting on the new man, who is rational, reasonable, thinking. I discern spiritual things, whereas in those years, I could not discern spiritual things. And whenever I'm engaged with these arguments that I'm having with the homosexual crowd, it is obvious to me that they cannot think rationally. And that they are not discerning anything spiritual at all. Their whole being is earth-like. But I'm telling you, your being is not that way. You have been changed. You have been changed by the power of God. And now have the full ability to choose the good. Now, choose it. You're not alone in this. God is at work in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. You've heard me say it three times now in this message alone. And he has not left you alone to hang in the wind. He has given you the power to do these things. Now do them. I can tell you that it hasn't been as thoughtful as a process that I just set forth and say, I will stop doing this and stop doing this. It has been something of a progressive process. But it's always been self-consciously. I've always been self-consciously aware of the change that has occurred in my heart. And of the need for me to change that old man. By the way, it's one of the early sermons that I recall from my Christian life. Put off the old, put on the new. I could relate to that somehow. Put off the old. Put on the new. Now I'm asking you to do the same. Now, many of you have put on the new simply because you're Christians and you're believers at this point. But I'm telling you right now that sometimes the process is not at all complete. Nor do I think it reaches full completion. But as you know, I use the proverbial 1 to 10 scale when I'm rating the church and all that kind of stuff. which got me in trouble, but nonetheless. But on a scale of 1 to 10, you ought to judge yourself so that nobody else will be judging you. Where do you stand in progressive sanctification? Where are you at? If 1 is the moment of salvation, when you were changed from a sinner to a saint by the powerful work of God, how far have you progressed? I would trust that if you've been in the Lord any length at all, of time at all, you would be able to testify or to report some progress in a changed life, some marked improvements in the way that you have put off the old and put on the new. Now, mind you, there is a transitional process. Sometimes we are so inured to our old man that it takes a while to blow him away. But that's exactly what you must do. Blow him away and put on the new. And you do so through humility, meekness, all of those wonderful things, kindness. You bring your pastor pomegranates. You do things like that. Those are the illustration of the new man. That's the new man at work. And I want you to become more and more like that. No, you don't have to get more and more pomegranates, just more and more in that kind of expression of love and kindness. Always doing those things which bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, it's all summed up in that. If you live for the glory of Christ and the glory of God, you will find yourself in total sanctified compliance with His will and way. Keep Christ at the center of your life, even in the work of sanctification. But never forget that you have power and that the greatest power in the universe is in your heart. Let's pray. Let's stand, please, as we dismiss. Our dearest Heavenly Father, how much more can we say? We believe that You are at work in our heart and that You have commanded us to sanctify ourselves and to put off the old man and to put on the new. And so we are aware, according to the Scriptures, that You have restored this power to do that by Your Spirit. We are not always aware, Father. Somehow we get wrapped up in the things of this life and this realm, and we forget that Your Spirit abides within us, in our hearts and in our minds. So, Father, we pray that as we come up to this new year, that we will once again, that we will commit and resolve to yield ourselves to that Spirit's wooings. For He loves us and cares for us and desires for us to be people that will bring glory to Christ. As we see the darkness closing in about us, may You, by Your power, cause the light to shine in our lives, that Jesus Christ might be exalted and lifted up. We thank You, Father, for the wonderful Word of God that we have, that man rejects, but is a love letter from You and tells us Your will for our lives. Teach us, O Lord, by the renewed knowledge in our soul of how to gain from this Word that You have left with us. Give us who teach the power to instruct, and give those who are instructed the willingness and the heart to believe it and to apply it to their own lives. We thank You, Father, for this good news
that it's not just the good news that we've been saved from death and hell, but rather we have been saved to godliness and righteousness even in this life. And we say, as the prophet did in the book of Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come into our heart and have your will and way. And this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.